In our study, as you know, in the Gospel of John, the last living apostle, writing just before 100 AD, and he's writing and giving us a view of all of history, way back from Genesis, in the beginning, all the way through the Old Testament, New Testament, in between, all of it. And he's bringing to us the wonderful, wonderful benefit of all that God is and does and has done and all he has made known. So now, in the light of all of human history, what do we need to know? We need to understand the God, the Creator, the Redeemer. It's his story, history. It's his story. It's his. It's all about him. Now, having said that, and so as we're looking at the Gospel of John, he's going to present, rightly so and wonderfully so, that he is God. He is absolutely God alone and only, the only God and the only Savior. And as we read in John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11 last time, we reminded ourselves that they were very much upset, the Pharisees, the scribes, Sadducees. They were very much upset because he was who he was, is who he is, and the crowds in the temple on the Feast of Tabernacles, which had just finished, those 8 days have been finished. And in chapter 8, we're looking there, he's still there in the temple the next day. And in the process, he's the prophet and the crowd. The crowd says, is he the Messiah? Is he the Christ? Is he the prophet? And there's great, great discussion and turmoil, division. And therefore, even among them, the Pharisees. And therefore there needs, we've got to get rid of them. And they've been trying to do that, but now there's only 6 months left before he goes to the cross, less than 6 months. And so he's going to the cross, so he's zeroed in on the target. And in the process, they're going to get him somehow. And they tried to trap him, remember, in putting an adult woman, taken in adultery, and about stoning her. And they weren't interested in the woman, as we shared last time. They didn't even care about the woman. They didn't care about the man. I didn't care. The woman wasn't the issue. Adultery wasn't the issue. They wanted him to not honor the law of Moses, which law he gave. It's his own law. He gave it. And they wanted him to honor it, dishonor it or something, so they could get after him. And they weren't really after stoning the woman. They were after stoning him, remember. Remember we shared it. They weren't after that woman getting punished. They were after him getting punished. And if you look in chapter 8, if you would, in the light of that, and in chapter 8, verse 59, then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So they weren't out to the woman. They were out for him. Now, hang on, if you would, and back over now, having finished with the woman, and they all went home. They couldn't do anything. They all were condemned, and no one threw a stone. No one condemned her, and God said, you are forgiven. Make sure you don't do this again. Now, verse 12, 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So here he's taking up again, then, T-H-E-N, and then spake Jesus again, A-G-A-I-N. Those two little words, bring us back to where? God, he just finished with a woman outside. Where is he? He's back in the temple now. And you will notice, please, in verse chapter 8, verse 2, And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the temple came unto him and sat down, and he taught them, sitting down, as it was the custom of teachers. Now, verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. So now, here he is, he's back in the temple, so we're looking at 8:12. Wherein he's speaking inside the temple, he's teaching them. In this place, remember now there's the court of the Gentiles out here. That's where Herod's temple, big 46 years or whatever in building. So here's the temple, here's the court of the Gentiles. And then you go up the steps, and here's the court of the women. And then you go up the steps, wall, go up the steps through the door, and there's the court of the priest. That's where the burnt altar is. So you got 1, 2, 3. The Lord Jesus, verse 20, is in the treasury. In the court of the women, there are 13 boxes lined up on the wall. 1, 2, 3, 4. 6 of them are for different things, for wicks, for all different things they deposited. And then they have 6 or 7 that are left that you deposit just giving. So all of these, just these 13 boxes where they give. And that's the treasury. That's why it's called the treasury, court of the women. And so in that place, here he is, and that's where he's located, so you know where he is. And you'll notice in verse 12, he makes a statement, very clear statement. He is saying, present tense, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. In a whole series of I ams, here's another one. I am the light of the world. So now, that's what he's saying. And now, in order to get the handle on that and to capture it, remember now the Feast of the Tabernacles has just been finished. And in the Feast of the Tabernacles, the 8th day, they had the two of the most important ceremonies. One was the pouring out of water. That was one of the top ceremonies, and that they did on the Feast of the Tabernacles. And you remember in chapter 7, verse 37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Drink. He's using that wonderful ceremony that was so important, so impressed upon them, that God supplies the water of life. He did it for 40 years, etc., in the wilderness. He is the water of life. Now, he did that. Now, here's the second ceremony that is most important, and that is in the court of the temple of the women. In this court, here's the 13 boxes of treasury. And in the middle of the court are 4 giant candelabras. Giant. They go up above the wall, way up in the air. They have 4 ladders. Each candelabra has a ladder going up. And they would go up on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Here he is in the he's in the treasury. They're looking, right there looking at him. Here they are. Now, what did they do? They went, and on that first night, they went up, and they went up with a pile of oil, a lot of oil, and they lit those 4 candelabras. They were so bright, they lit the city up. You could see the city from the light of these 4 candelabras, all flaming in the middle of the court of the in the court with the court of the women, and they're there. And that was the second ceremony of importance. That marvelous event where the Shekinah glory in the tabernacle temple, the glory that filled the temple of tabernacle, the glory shone, God's wonderful, wonderful light, fire, light, wow, over Israel. Israel was under the light and in the light and blessed by the light. And that's what they did. So here he's looking, and there isn't now, the isn't lit, and the feast is over. But he's sitting in the treasury, and here are these lampstands, big, big, giant candelabras. And thus, he goes and says, I am the light of the world. I am the water of life, by the way, he said. I also am the light of the world. You want light. I have come to give you light. Now hang on, we want to see that afresh if I can. Now, keeping in mind, if you would, that God using his penman John, is going to make known who he is in a most marvelous way. The only God, the only Savior, the Creator, the Redeemer. There is none other, none whatsoever. You read in John chapter 1, you may want to turn there for a moment, the Gospel of John in chapter 1. And you will notice, as we read, that he was the Word, and the Word was became flesh, etc. And in verse 14, God the Son entered in and took on a human body in Bethlehem of Judea. Perfect humanity, perfect deity in one person. Now, verse 14. And the Word, eternal Word, Son of God, was made flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So here he is, and he, God in the flesh, he's doing the most wonderful thing he could. How do we see an invisible God? An invisible God, an infinite God who has no measurements, who is always ever present, and all of the universe and all of everything in creation is smack dab in the middle of who he is. Wow. Now, how do we handle that God? Well, God made himself known all the way through history, as you know. But now he does so in a very special way. In order to save humanity, he had to go and pay the price in Calvary's cross and die. Therefore, he had to be born in Bethlehem of Judea in order to die. So he, God, here you are. You're the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful source of life. And verse 4, chapter 1, verse 4. And him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, and the stress is on the quality, the nature. He was the essence, the nature, the quality. He is life. He is the source of all life, the existence of anything and everything. He is the source. God is life, who gives the life of God. There is no life of God apart from God. God, the Word, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, and remember now, he is the life. Now, Hank, just to get that a little better, go over to John chapter 3, to that which you know, John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, never perish, but have everlasting life. It's the opposite of dying. It's the opposite, which is having life. Now, what is life? Life. You know John chapter 17. Gospel of John chapter 17. Life. What is this life? Chapter 17 and verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many, the Lord's Prayer, to given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. This, and verse 3, this is life eternal. What is that? That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, that you might know him. And you know, without turning there, in 1 John 5 and verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath no life. What is life? It's a unique relationship to God. How? It's made possible by the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world, the light of men, the light of the world. Hang on to that. Now, having said that, the life, and the life was the light of men, enlightening, sustaining, influencing. He was the wonderful one to awaken the heart to God. To see him was to see God. And we couldn't see an invisible God, no. But you could see him. You could see him and touch him. You could realize God. And he wasn't a dragon. He's a human because he made you humans. He's a person and he made us persons. So we persons are able to understand his person because we are persons. And we can relate because he's a person. And so are we. Wow. Now, in the light of that, so life possesses light. Light and life go together. God created physical life, and all we humans have physical existence. It doesn't say we have physical life in the life sense. We have existence. We are living like birds, animals, plants, people. We live. We have physical life. We have physical existence. And our physical existence is made possible by light. No light, no physical existence. No life. There is no life apart from light. Take light out, you have no life. No life. So he is the light and life together. And he created it, light and darkness. He created it, light and day. And so that we would understand this wonderful relationship that we have. A, we can have to him, which involves light, or we reject him and we are in the state of death. Over to John chapter 1 so you can see that. Chapter 1 and in verse 8. He was not that light, John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness to that light, the Lord Jesus. Verse 9. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. God, as you know, always makes himself known to every human being, no matter where you're born, on planet Earth, God makes himself known. Now, what are you going to do with what you know about a God? What are you going to do with him? Well, we're going to be like adults and become something, and God disappears from our thinking. Or are we going to follow through? God says, I'm God. No, we aren't going to worship kangaroos and totem poles. But God, because God isn't a totem pole. God isn't a kangaroo. Now, so here in verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So God, well, he's the light person, and he came to give light to persons so that they could have life. And the world didn't see it that way. They were blind. We're going to hold on to that. They were blind in the darkness. And the Jews on unbelief, they were blind in their darkness and they received him not. So now in the light of that, in the light of the darkness, and remember now the material world needs light. It can't exist without, there's none. We wouldn't have anything. Take away light. And the spiritual world needs light as we would share. And all humans they have existence. They're all alive, physically, existence. They are in a state of physical death. They have spiritual death. They're going to die, and they have spiritual death. They're separated from God. What do you mean they're separated from God? They're separated from life. That's what they're separated from. God is life. And when you leave God out, you have no life. Doesn't mean you don't exist. You just don't have any life. You don't have a relationship to God. It's the absent. Death is the absence of light. Of life, I should say. And the opposite of light is darkness. The opposite of life is death. So now, in the light of that, in verse chapter 1 of John, verse 5. And light, the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And remember, we did all this in 1 John, but keep in mind, and in the light came, and the men loved darkness rather than light, as you know. And darkness, verse 6, and verse 5, I should say, darkness does not comprehend it. And the word comprehend has to do with too intensive, to take over, to say it very quickly, to overtake, to overcome, to seize. Darkness would like to lay hold of light and squash it. That's what darkness would like, to reach out and squash life. Put it out. Put it out. And they can't do it. It wants to put out light. Hang on. That's important. Because in John 8, what have you got? You've got the Pharisees and the scribes, Sadducees. They're trying to stone him. He's light. And what do? They love darkness rather than light. They're trying to get rid of the light. Hang on. Now, having said that, so deceives. And so light reveals and darkness conceals. So here in the Gospel of John, as we've read, the world doesn't know him. The Jews rejected him at this point. And in chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God. So everyone could have an opportunity, but they have to receive him. But the darkness doesn't want to do that. Just that's what they don't want to do. The world doesn't want to know. And the Jews didn't want to know. Over in John chapter 3 again. John chapter 3. And picking up, if I can, in verse 18. About darkness, remember, they don't want it dark. People love darkness. You know, without Isaiah 5:20 and all of that. What does the people do? They're going to call, turn everything up. Woe unto them would turn everything upside down. We're going to call good, what? Evil. Bitter, sweet. Dark, light. We're going to turn it all upside down so that we can live in the darkness and call it light. And we're comfortable. And light, that which is light, we'll call darkness. And that gives us an out. It's a lousy one. It doesn't work, but we do it. We do it. Doesn't make sense, and we know it doesn't make sense. But what's that got to do with it? Now, in verse 18, chapter 3, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why is that? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He hasn't believed. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. And every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds, his works, should be reproved. They don't want to come into the light because the light reveals. And we don't want to see for what it is. We don't want to understand what we are or what we are not. What we are or not. Over to chapter 12, John chapter 12. And picking up, just to give you a little of all the different places, to round it off a little bit, John chapter 12, verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. I'm here for a little while, walking planet Earth. And while I'm walking here, if you walk with me, if you stay with me, you'll have light. You'll see the light. Walk while you have light, have the light. But they wanted to kill the light, crucify him. Lest, walk while you have light, lest darkness come overtake you, the verb, come upon you, or come upon you, overtake you, seize you, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goes. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be children of the light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Verse 46, I am come light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Not at all. Not at all. I'm here, light. Light dispels darkness. That's what it does. So in the process now, keeping that in mind, over if you would to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll tie another thing together. Why do men love darkness rather than light? 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. What is it that gives them the freedom to do this? We'll try to put it together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, reminding you that if our gospel be hidden, it is hid to them that are lost. Lost people don't want to be found. In whom the God of this world hath blinded, the God of this world, Satan himself, hath blinded the minds of them with any religion, ritual, anything but the truth and light, in whom the god of this world had blinded the minds, thought process, of them which believe not. So the minute they don't believe, they give the devil the edge, and they don't want to believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And they don't want to have that light. They don't want it to be in their mind, in their heart. Over, if you would please, to Romans chapter 1. So the god of the world blinds the mind. Unbelief blinds, so you can't see. Can't see in the mind and heart. And here in Romans chapter 1, what do we know? Romans 1 and verse 20. I'll read verse 19 to get a little bit of the context. Because that which may be known of God is manifest, where is it made clear? In them. Why is it clear? I said about children and everyone. For God hath shown it unto them. So it has nothing to do with mother, father, brother, sister, background in the Australian desert, Sahara desert, or any other place. What difference does it make where anyone is? Anyone that's a human born, that's what God does. God does that. So it wouldn't make any difference. He isn't dependent on you or me to tell anybody. He's going to do it now. And thus, verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. How so? They're invisible. Aha! Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, his deity. Obviously, God has to be something else in power, person. So that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as a God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their thought, imagination, thought process, and their foolish heart was darkened. Dark. It's got dark. That's right. Men love darkness. They love darkness. They're born. They don't want to know God. They don't want any light. And they have darkness. 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 And the invisible things are clear by the things that are made. And it's foolishness to them. Their foolish heart was darkened. And add to that, if you would, so you have it, Ephesians chapter 4. So we lock in this darkening business is the way it is. You say, boy, things should be so easy in the light, but they aren't. That's because men love darkness. Ephesians chapter 4, and picking up, please, if I can, in verse 18. Having 4 and 18, Ephesians, having the understanding, thought process, darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So you've got dark, no life, they're ignorant, and they're blind. And why are they blind? Because they don't want to believe. They don't want to believe so that they can see. They don't want to do that. So now, light is necessary for life, and life involves light. Visible light, that's what we're in right now. Vision, visible light enables us to have vision. Light is the only thing people see. Every object that you see right now, everything that you can see with your eyes right now, you only think you see it. You only think you see it. That's all you do. You only think you see it. It's the result of light being reflected. You aren't seeing the objects. You're seeing light is creating for you an image, a picture. That's the law. Light. Light. So you don't see objects. You only see light. That's all you see. And light does something wonderful for us. And without light, what did we call it? Darkness. What do you see in the darkness? You don't see anything in the darkness. So the only thing you actually see, I know we look at objects and we see things, we point to them, but we really aren't seeing them. All we're seeing is light doing what it does for us, because God created it. And wonderful, over if you would, just to see this. Over. Well, you're here in Ephesians, why not? Ephesians chapter 5. Would you notice, please, in Ephesians chapter 5, going directly to verse 13. But all things that are reproved, are put to shame, the proven wrong, being put to shame, are made manifest, public, clear, plain. How so? By light. For whatsoever, or the little words, everything. Everything is made manifest. Everything that you can see is made clear by light. Light is what you see. When you see a blade of grass out there that may be getting green, you see a blade of grass that's green. What are you seeing? You're seeing the green does not emit light. It reflects green, the green in the spectrum of light. And so you see green. When you look at snow, what do you see? You see all of the light is reflected back. So we call it white. When all of the light is absorbed, we call it black. It's light, light, light. That's all you see. We say we see this and that, understandably. But technically, that is not true. Theoretically, that is not true. In physics, it's not true, you guys. Physics, you know it's not true. It isn't true at all. All you see is light. That's all you see. Hang on to that. That's important. Important, you know, I don't think we... Anyway. Now, hang on to that little bit. And keeping that in mind, over if you would please, John chapter 8. And in verse 12. John 8 and in verse 12. Saying, Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light, I am the light, I presently am the light of the world. That's what I am. I'm the light in the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now hang on. Here we are. God, you are the light of the world. Uh-huh, I am, I am. I am the light for the world. I made light and darkness, so that you would understand the difference and that you would understand what it is to be dark, what it is to be light. And in the process, I've made that so that you could have a wonderful ongoing exercise day and night, etc., as it takes place so that you're learning and understanding there's dark and there's light. Now, having said that, and light is needed to see God. We can't see God without light. Now, we read, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We read that all creation is made evidence. God's person and power is made evidence by light, by everything that's created. So we see the flowers, the birds, the bugs, the people, humans, everything. And we see that, and we see it. And light does that for us, so that we can see the world in which we live and operate reasonably. God, you are the light, so that we can see spiritually, so that we can see you. Without you, without the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light, we can't see. You need light to see. How are we going to understand who you are apart from light? And when we understand who you are by light, we understand where life is. You are life and light. You are the life and the light. The light points back to you, to life. And life points to the light that tells about you. Wow. Wow. And you did that for us, God. You did. I came to give you light, to understand. How do we understand the invisible God? Well, how do we understand God? By the things that are made. How are we going to understand you as a person, God? By the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word became flesh and dwelt among you. That's how you're going to understand. You're going to understand my Son, and you will understand me. You will see what you can never understand. My Son and his whole wonderful ministry as we shared on Wednesday and all that, and the Word became flesh. God, what did you do? Your words and works are what? To manifest, not yourself, but the God the Father. Everything I do nothing of myself. All that I say and all that I do is to reflect and represent God the Father. My Father, God, the invisible, awesome, wonderful, magnificent, merciful God. Wow. Now, how am I ever going to know you, God? I got to have light. I can't see without light. Everything is dark to me. But God, you've sent your Son into the world that we can have wonderful, wonderful light. And as we look to you, God, verse 12, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. So if you're staying close to me, you aren't going to go into darkness at all. In fact, you're going to stay in the light. So as you walk, as you follow me closely, moving along and walking, behaving yourself, staying close to me, he followeth me shall not, positively, double negative, shall not walk in darkness. It shall not happen. You can't be in darkness when the light's on. Can you? I can put you in a dark closet. The minute I put you outside where the sun is shining, you no more can duplicate the closet. You can't create it. It's in the presence of the sunlight. And the sunlight eliminates all shadow and darkness. So God, when I'm in your presence, if I stay close to you, I have to be in the light. You do. Over to 1 John. First John chapter 1. You will know, please. May I pick up, please, the thought? First John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. In him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Because if you follow me, you cannot walk in the dark. You cannot be in the dark in my presence when you're trusting me. You can't do it. Verse 6, if we say we walk and have fellowship, you can't have fellowship when you walk in darkness. You can't walk in darkness if you're walking with God. Verse 7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So in the light of the fact that we understand, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. God, we're able to live in the light of this old nature, being saved in a wonderful way by your wonderful presence in our heart. And we're able to walk with you. And when we walk with you, God, and looking to you in Calvary's cross, covers us from all the lousy, dark, rotten, horrible, everything, word, thought, and deed. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. And God, we're covered. We're covered because when we went to the cross, you went to the cross, you took us to the cross and died. So that all of that, God, that's inside of us, around us, is covered. And you look at us and see us covered and find us in the person of Jesus Christ as new creatures. And we go down the corridor of time, and it isn't we're hiding anything or making believing, pride, or nothing else. God, we're very realistic. Very more and more and more and more realistic. In me dwelleth no good thing. God, very clear. It's nothing to do with me and everything to do with you. Wow. And that's why you're there. That's correct. So that I have come to give you light. Wonderful, wonderful light. And shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, in the light of that, shall have the light of life. That means that If you're following as a student, you're going to be taught. If you're following as a soldier, you're going to be under orders. If you're following as a slave, you're going to be in service. You're behaving yourself, looking to God, pleasing God. And when you do so, walking in the light as He is in the light, then what's going to happen? Well, you're going to have the light of life. The light which life possesses is an attribute. The light that leads to life is what we need to understand. Christ is the light. He gives life. How do we know life? Because you see Him, He's light. How do you know life? Because He gives you light. He is, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the water of life. Do you understand, said He, now Lord Jesus, that as you see the sun, and it makes everything clear, as you see S-O-N, the sun, it makes everything clear. Over, if you would, in closing, two things. Over, 2 Corinthians, if I can, in chapter 4. Picking up, if I may, in thought. For we preach, remember we looked at blinding, the unbelief blinds the heart. Verse 5, chapter 4, verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, slaves, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath found what? Shined in our hearts. For what reason? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, where? In the face of Jesus Christ, who is life. He's both. He makes it possible for you to see God, and then you come in the light and find God, life. Wow. A wonderful thing, God, you did. Over to 1 Peter. Over to 1 Peter chapter 2. Say it another way. 1 Peter and chapter 2. May I go directly for verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. But we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar, prized, precious, particular, personal people. Purpose, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Yeah, I used to be in the dark. I didn't know God, but God in Christ Jesus, who received Him as your Savior. God sent His Son into the world. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Ah, now. And, Elva, over in Ephesians and 5. Ephesians and 5, as you know. 4, 5, Ephesians 5, verse 8. Directly, for you were sometimes darkness. Before you got saved, your whole being was in, your understanding was darkened, your heart was darkened. It doesn't mean you didn't have existence. You had no relationship to life, and you had no light. You had physical light that you could see with your eyes, perhaps, but you did not have the light that Jesus Christ had provides for you to know God. You rejected Him. And therefore, you rejected the sunlight, so you don't see. Power, Helco, Northeast Utilities. You reject light. No, I don't want to reject light. I love light. I love light. I love the God of light. I love the life of God. The God of life and the life of God. And the life of God is the light of God. And so, verse 8, for you were sometimes darkened, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. David will say, the Lord, He is my light. Psalm 27:1. He is my light, and He is my life. Wow. God, what are you trying to tell him? See the candelabras? You say, what was it when that's something when they're lit. God said, you should see what happens when I get in your heart and give you light in your darkness. What I will do to awaken you. And you'll realize that you say, well, I'm not that bad of a sinner. You need to get saved. You don't see good when you're blind spiritually. When you get saved, you know why you got saved. You didn't know how bad you were till you got saved. And then you keep growing and you learn how bad you are, but you realize how good He is. And where sin abounded, Romans 5, what? Grace abound more. God, thank you. Thank you very, very much. So what are you trying to tell? You're trying to tell the people, Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees, listen, by the way, I'm the light of the world. And if you follow me, you'll not walk in darkness. By the way, I am the light so that you could see where the life is. The life is in me. In me is God. When you see me, you'll find God. When you find God, you'll find light. God is light. Wow. Wow. Our Father in God, we thank you for your grace and kindness and mercy. Set apart all of these minutes and moments. God, we want to be the beneficiaries. We thank you for light, physical light. We thank you for being able to see the colors, to be able to see anything by the light, because of the light. God, help us to understand, to learn, to grow. God, help us. It's a wonderful thing. So easy what you've done. You've taken all of creation, the laws and everything else, and you've made them helpful to us so that we can understand. God, thank you very much. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your personal involvement. Thank you that you know each of our hearts to the nth degree, and that, God, you're willing to save us above and beyond anything we could ask or think. Not for us, but for your own glory and honor. And we are privileged to go with it and be for it and to partake of all of the wonderment that you have made possible for us being created humans so that we, having physical birth, could have spiritual birth. That we that have physical light could have spiritual light, that we who had physical death could have wonderful spiritual life. And our God, we're going to thank you for all of it. Help us. In Christ's name, amen.